the bottom line. On News Radio 610, KONA, from the Tri-Cities to Olympia to D.C., we break down.
Break it all down.
The stories of the day and the people making the news.
And that's the bottom line.
Time to get the bottom line. Presented by Summit Funding in Kennewick and Prosser. With your hosts, Rob Francis and Ed Dawson.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the bottom line. News Radio 610 KONA. It's Thursday afternoon. Rob and Ed hanging with you. Pleased to welcome to the program Senator Phil Fortunato. Good afternoon to you, Senator. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on the program. It's been certainly been busy in Olympia. The Senate's certainly been hearing and voting on a number of bills. A couple of them certainly we want to touch on, including a couple of yours. But let's start off with one that's certainly of concern to many here in Eastern Washington, and that is the continued push for Washington State to be a complete and total sanctuary state. Where are things sitting in that regard? And I understand there's a bill in the Senate that would address that issue.
Well, today, this week is the last week to hear a bill in the Senate. So they chose not to hear my bill, which was no sanctuary for criminals. You know, I tried to zero this in so that it wasn't such a big, broad approach. In other words, I said, you know what, we're going to separate people that might be here illegally, but they're not committing crimes. You know, we're not going to look at those people because that's, you know, the feds got to figure out what they're doing. We're not going to look at people that witness a crime, victim of a crime, or report a crime because they are actually eligible for a victim visa and they could stay here legally if that was the case. What we are going to focus on is criminals who are currently in custody. Because these are the ones that they are letting out that are, I said, not only are they victimizing the general public, but their primary victims are the undocumented community. So these people aren't even helping other undocumented people.
So what would, according to the bill that you wrote, what would be the actions taken against these individuals?
If they are incarcerated, they must communicate with ICE. So they have to communicate with ICE. They have to say, we've arrested this person. He's in our custody. We're going to release him at this time or come and pick him up or whatever. So they have to communicate actively with ICE. They cannot withhold information from ICE. And it's just a general cooperation with them. Because right now what they're doing is they're not cooperating with ICE at all. So that's why all these guys in my district, there was a young man, so you got an undocumented community in everybody's districts, it appears. Here you had his father was undocumented, the kid was undocumented, two other young men who are undocumented criminals were arrested multiple times, hacked this kid to death with a machete. The father, who was a illegal alien, he said, my son would be alive today if King County coordinated with ICE and actually deported these people. So I was on a Como News 4 town hall they had on immigration status, and I was on there with a immigration lawyer, and I think I did a pretty darn good job of holding up my end of the stick. But they want to, it's important to understand that when they talk about this issue, they want to broaden this. And they kept trying to say, we need to reform the entire criminal justice system. I said, no, we don't. These people are already in custody. They're already criminals. They need to be deported. Well, we need to look at the total immigration. Hey, we're all in agreement. We need to look at immigration, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about these people are already criminals. They're already in custody. They need to be deported. And just stay focused on that.
Well, and so we're talking with Senator Phil Fortunato from the 31st District here on the bottom line. Senator, you know as well as we do, there have been instances, a couple of high-profile ones on the west side of the state, where those in the country illegally who have committed violent crimes have been let go, and then they've gone to commit violent crimes again because ICE was not informed. And one of them, in fact, to our understanding, was able to get across the border into Mexico before they even were able to begin to search for this individual.
Well, yeah, you had a young man that The guy, now how this guy got 9 months for raping a disabled woman in front of her 2-year-old child, I don't know. But he got 9 months, he's standing in front of the judge, and the judge says, I don't know if I could ask your immigration status because of this new law, so I can't hold you to check that out. So they let him go with the promise that he was going to go back to Mexico. Well, he did go back to Mexico after he went and terrorized this woman a second time. And then he went back to Mexico. And now here's this woman living in fear that where is this guy? You know, is he going to come back and do it again? I mean, the number of crimes that are committed by these people, and, you know, the great number of them are spousal abuse and drunk drivers, like 80% of them. That's who's in jail now. And I go, so how many drunk drivers and wife beaters do you want to leave out on into society? Are you helping people? How many deaths are caused by drunk drivers? And then you got the other 20% that are really serious, bad people. And we're letting those people out into our society? This is crazy. So in addition to that, I want to touch on the not only the safety of the law enforcement officers that are, you know, if they arrest this person or take this person into custody while they're in a jail situation, it's a controlled environment. They know there's no weapons. They know they could apprehend these people pretty easily. And they could bring them through the process. And when they let them out in community, ICE is going out into the community to track these people down. Well, now what they're going to do is they're in an uncontrolled environment. They don't know if they knock on a door. They don't know whether anybody's armed. They don't know whether the community, there's people that have guns on it in the community. They don't know if they're going to get resistance. And it makes it a much more hazardous situation, not only for the ICE officers, but also the community in general. And bullets start flying. So this is just a crazy approach to what I have no idea what they think they're doing when they do this. I mean, it's just unimaginable to me.
We're talking with Senator Phil Fortunato here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA from the 31st Legislative District.
Senator Fortunato, another one of the issues, and there are many going on in Olympia, and you touched on it. Tomorrow is the deadline for policy bills to get out of committee. So a lot, there's going to be a flurry of activity, I would imagine. This ongoing battle with $30 car tabs, that's a statewide issue that people on the west side, on the east side, it affects everybody. Where does that stand?
They were nice enough. The transportation chairman, the Democrat transportation chairman, was nice enough to give me a bill, a hearing, my $30 car tab bill. Now, one of the problems you have with 976 is, you know, in my mind, it's clearly multiple subjects because it deals with car tabs and then it also deals with the sales tax from the sale of motor vehicles and rental cars. Now, there's no connection between the sales tax and car tabs. So that alone gives them the excuse to throw this thing out as multiple subjects. And then it also has to do with transportation benefit districts and sound transit bonding. So those are that allows the courts to say, oh, well, this is multiple subjects and throw the thing out, which I believe they're probably going to rule that way. I think there's a summary judgment ruling coming tomorrow. So what I did was I just said, you know what? Every time you talk to a voter, they don't talk about the sales tax on a car or transportation benefit districts or this other stuff. They're talking about, we voted for $30 car tabs. So I drafted a bill, and the only thing it addresses is $30 car tabs, and which, by the way, is a bulk of the tax dollars. But by doing that, there's no interpretation of whether that's more than one subject. So that's why I wanted to just keep it a clean $30 car tab bill. And I think the governor came out and made a statement that said, even if Fortunato's bill passes, I'm still going to veto it.
Well, that's lovely. But before that, is there any chance that this bill even gets out of committee?
Nope, it's dead. As all the bills are dead as of right now.
You know, Senator, and obviously the east side of the state there's growing frustration. There has been for a couple of years, because it seems that not only do we continue to see bills moving forward to take more money out of people's pockets, but going back to what you were alluding to earlier, we're seeing bills that are coming out that are protecting criminals more than they are protecting citizens, going after the Second Amendment rights of legal gun owners, a number of things. At what point in time, and this certainly is an opinion question, sir, at what point in time do voters around the state, do residents around the state begin to open their eyes and see that a lot of the things that have been done the last couple of years in Olympia are not in their best interest?
Well, you know, it is kind of funny because you have the Liberty Movement and, you know, separate us from this craziness on the West Side. So on the West Side, you know, I drafted a bill that wanted to separate the rest of King County from Seattle because we're the same boat. We go like, these people are, you know, what are they doing in Seattle? I mean, they want to become a little socialist enclave, you know, but they have a tremendous influence on the rest of King County. So King County as a whole becomes basically a mini Seattle. By separating Seattle from the rest of King County, Seattle could then be King County. It will be something else. And that actually, I had a bill to do that. That was I had the Secretary of State make it an agency request bill, because the Constitution says you could form a new county, but it doesn't say how. And what the bill did was, the bill said, this is how you form a new county. So you got that same issue is, you know, we want to separate ourselves. And if you did that, the influence of Seattle statewide would go down dramatically. And I think that would help balance some of this stuff.
We're talking with Senator Phil Fortunato from the 31st Legislative District here on The Bottom Line.
Another topic, Senator Fortunato, that I know that is close to you and you are working on, being a parent myself, a parental bill of rights. Maybe explain that to our listeners, what exactly that entails.
Well, it's primarily centered around educating your child and that child going to school and what information that you can be able to get. You know, and when I talk about this in some groups, they don't believe this. Right now, if you brought your 13-year-old child to the doctor will say to you, to the child, do you want your parent present? And a parent will go, what? You know, do I have your permission to tell your mom or your dad about this medical issue? I need to get your 14-year-old child's permission to tell you medical information. What kind of craziness is this? And people don't believe it until it actually happens to them. One time I had I told a woman this and she didn't believe me. And her 15-year-old daughter and her got in a big fight. She fell down the stairs, broke her arm. The mom brings the kid to the hospital. And the doctor says, do you want your mom present? And the kid says, no. And the doctor turns to the mom and says, can you wait outside? And the mom goes, I'm not going to wait outside. This is my kid. He goes, well, I'm sorry. She doesn't want you present. I don't care if she wants me present or not. And the end result of that was security wind up taking the mother out, you know, and people don't believe it until it actually happens to them. You have, if you're a parent, you have the right to know what's going on with your kid medically. You have, I made the statement. I said, you know, if you're telling me this 13-year-old kid or 14-year-old kid can make a decision about abortion or medical procedures or something or other, let that kid go out and get a job. You're asking me to pay the bill, but you're not telling me I have a right as a parent over my own child. So when they go to school, sex education and things like that, that's a parent's, a parent's prerogative on how they want that taught to their child. And so what this says is you can't withhold the information from the parents about anything that's going on in school, how the kid's behavior at school, because they're withholding sexual information from parents when your kid goes to school and things like that. So this says the parent has a right to know this stuff. Parent has a right to raise their own child and make their child's decisions.
Because, you know, ultimately we're paying the doctor bill anyway, right?
Right. Well, one of the bills, for example, is striving to, if if they take your kid to get an abortion and they charge your medical insurance, they don't want that to appear on the medical insurance report that you're seeing. You know, they could take your 14-year-old daughter and bring her out to have an abortion, and you don't know anything about it. Now, you know, whose kid is this? Is it the state's kid, or is it your kid? And what right do you have as a parent? And at some point in time, you know, these things really gotta come to a head.
I'm curious, when you're talking about the doctor's office, that scenario, and medical procedures and the like, does this also extend to filling prescriptions? And the reason why I ask that is, as it is now, you have to show all kinds of ID just to get any kind of opioid, I guess, you know, a painkiller or something like that. You have to be a certain age. Is it possible for that same teenager who can make their parent leave the doctor's office when they're discussing what's going on with them? Can that same teenager acquire prescriptions without the parent knowing?
Well, this says you can't withhold medical information from the parent, so the parent would have to know that, would have to be aware of that. So the doctor would have to communicate that through the parent to do that.
Okay, there's at least that, I guess.
Right. I mean, that would be under this bill. But right now, to be honest with you, I don't know. And I don't think so because, you know, again, your child could go to the doctor and information about that child's medical condition can right now be withheld from the parent.
Senator Phil Fortunato from the 31st Legislative District, appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much, and we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope some positives come out before the end of everything tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Senator. Pleasure to have you on. Senator Phil Fortunato from the 31st Legislative District.